Hello, you're listening to The Joys of Teaching Literature. We're here talking about how to make your life easier, more fun, how to get your kids into learning and be passionate about learning and love reading and love writing, love speaking to each other, making presentations, all that good stuff, reading, writing, speaking, listening, I think are the four that we do. If you want to know more about me, I offer online professional development for high school English teachers. You can go to theteachersworkshop.com. And she actually just made a new course called Meaningful Project-Based Learning. So I basically have that section in my course that I offer, but I decided to elaborate and expand on it because I've done a lot of different work on project-based learning. It's really what I consider to be the heart and soul of what we do, even though I feel like we English teachers have probably been doing it for a very long time. I don't think it's something that's a new concept. But I decided to kind of get into a deeper dive with that. And, it's a bit of a shorter class, so it costs less money. And, but it has, I think it has this huge impact on really, at least for me, it has an impact on my entire year, really. And it's something that I really look forward to, especially in the second semester I teach seniors. So it's something that I spend more and more time on, in the second semester, but that I do throughout the year. So I basically explain the whole process. So that's kind of exciting. I think I just decided to do it one day on the way home and, you know, gathered all the materials and put it together. I had a day off, where I basically just committed to doing that course. So it's kind of an exciting thing. And I think it will hopefully, either just give you ideas or really transform the way that you do things in your class. Cause it is something I think, again, that you can do throughout the entire year and it's all in class. None of the project that I do is, involves a lot of take home work. So anyway, today what we're talking about is character study. And what I'm talk about a lot in my podcast and my blogs and in my course are what I call whole novel activities. So if you listen to my podcast or taken my course, you know that how I don't teach chapter by chapter. I teach topic by topic. And so this is another, so actually in the most common thing that I do as far as character study is sometimes a single character study, although it's sort of inherent in whatever topic that we're looking at, that it's usually tied to the protagonist, right? So almost every topic that I cover when I do a novel unit, if I have 7 or 8 or 9 different topics that I cover with that unit, then I'll usually, you know, with any novel, you sort of focus on that one character. Of course, other characters will come up, but when I talk about a single topic, I will track the development of the protagonist of the book from the beginning of the book to the end. And that's basically obviously the order that I go when I tackle a topic, like joy or fear, or imagination, friendship, something like that, you know, violence, death, you know, war, whatever it might be. So that's sort of a part of what I always do, but I can also specifically focus on a character. So the one that I talk about in the blog was, because that's what I'm doing right now, is Hamlet. And actually, we did this at the end of our unit. So I covered all these different topics, and then we decided to just focus on Hamlet. And there's, well, really four. There's, I call them soliloquies. There's 5, but there's really 4. And then the 5th one is Horatio and the Gravedigger. So, you know, they don't really count because Horatio knows about the ghost and the Gravedigger is the Gravedigger. He's just kind of, I don't even know if he's actually present when him and Horatio are going back and forth at the end. But either way, it's actually important that that moment that he has with Horatio before Ophelia's funeral is not a soliloquy, because I think it does change the nature of what he says. And how he says it. But either way, there's these sort of 5 important developmental moments, we'll call them, with Hamlet. And so we look at each one from the beginning. This is the first one, is before he sees the ghost. And then one is, I think, before he stages the play. And then one is after he stages the play. It's right before he stages the play. So actually the 3rd one is the one where he decides to stage the play. And then the last one is where he sees Fortinbras sort of roaming around Denmark. And then the 5th one is the one in the graveyard before the funeral. So we can sort of look at these 4, you know, huge moments with Hamlet and really look at, okay, so who was he at the beginning of this play? And now who is he at the very end? And, you know, how do we would account for his development. So it's a complicated question because you have all these different sort of moving parts in the plot. And each of the four or five moments that we look at, you have to really consider what's going on in that moment, like I just kind of described to you right now. You have to really figure out what's going on in that moment and then look at the overall. So that's actually part of the prompt. So I say, okay, look at each of the different five moments, come up with whatever you think are the most important quotes, and then each group does that. So five or six different groups, usually they'll come up, coming up with the different quotes. Sometimes they come up with the same quote. That's always interesting. And then I'll say, all right, on the poster, you as a group, you're going to create an argument about the overall development of Hamlet. Look at all five, talk a little bit about those five, and then just, you know, have a main argument about how he develops through the novel. And so each group basically presents on that. Now, that's a single character. Kite Runner, we'll say, I'm trying to think of different examples, and actually I'll use a couple different ones, but in Kite Runner, it's Baba and Amir. So it's two characters. So I can track the development, not just of one character, but of the impact that one particular character has on the other character. Obviously, Amir is our protagonist. His father, Baba, though, is a close second. He's instrumental in his development. Obviously, it's his father. he has no mother. And so looking at that relationship, because it has so much to do with his childhood and who he became as an adult, a young adult, and then later when he's married and throughout the course of that novel, that's a dynamic that we can sort of keep track of. In Great Expectations, there's a topic called heartbreak, and we really look at Pip's relationship with Estella. We also look at Miss Havisham, but mostly we're looking at his relationship with Estella. We'll use one more example in The Namesake. For example, here we look at different like topic of marriage, right? And so Moshumi is the sort of main character there that we look at, and her relationship with Gogol. So that's another possibility, is that you don't just track one character through an entire novel, but you can track, you know, the impact that one other character has on that. And then with all those examples that I gave, Estelle is not the most important. You know, Amir's father is important, but there are other really important characters. And so you can place that relationship in the context of this whole story of this character, the whole life story of this character, to figure out what impact that particular person had on their development as a whole. And Pip and Great Expectations is a great example, because Estella's, again, and not like Amir's father, is an important part of his childhood, and she's always sort of a part of him. She sort of haunts him in a way. Even when she's not there, she's there. But there's other really, Mag, which is really, you know, we're kind of focused on him for a while, so she's not always 100% in the picture. So it is interesting to kind of see, to keep track of that, because that's when we look at, you know, think about, like, students love to think about how a character develops, because they too experience a lot of change. You know, these kids, they move towns, their parents are divorced, they live in two different homes, they also get their heart broken, so they know what that's like, and you know, they have conversations about politics with their friends. They encounter new ideas on social media and react to sometimes shocking and disappointing news of the day. They're citizens of the world, and so they are changing. They want, you know, in one sense, they want to make their family happy, but they also want to be an individual person who thinks critically about the world they live in. They want to be their own person, and that at where we, where especially with, I teach seniors, but really any child at any age is evolving into their own person. And obviously their parents or their guardians are very important people to impact who they eventually will become, but they want to become someone themselves, that they want to be independent people. So when we talk about character development, it's a meaningful conversation for our students. It's a very meaningful conversation, because they can really internalize the decision-making and the internal conflict and all those different things that we talk about with characters. They too are going through all of that in their lives. A lot of our kids have lost someone. They've experienced somebody who's gotten ill or broken a bone or struggled with different things. They live in poverty. They're, you know, struggling to make ends meet. Their parents fight, right? They have all these different sort of transformative experiences as kids. And so when they read about somebody else's transformative experiences, and that's obviously why Catcher in the Rye has been such a popular text, right? Because they have all these people who have helped them become who they are, friends, you know, teachers. You know, we didn't hear too much about his parents, but his losing his sister Phoebe was obviously really important. Brother Allie, losing his brother Allie, but, you know, the relationship that he had with his sister Phoebe was a huge part of his development. And a lot of books are about family. So obviously this is, so we're trying to figure out ways of hooking our students into literature and making it something that they want, they have a deep desire to do. And it's, again, we're competing with TikTok and Instagram and these flashes of images that they get in television shows. So it's a difficult competition that we face, but that's, you know, they want to have meaning in life. They want to understand themselves. They want to understand the nature of their relationships with the people around them. And having those, focusing solely on those relationships in novels, not just, hey, we're getting to chapter 2 right now, we're getting to chapter 5 right now, and just talking about the plot of a book. Now, obviously, you can do that when you move through a novel. And obviously, a novel develops, an idea develops, so it's sort of moving from the beginning into the end, and that's sort of what you're doing, is exploring that development and move. I'm not saying it can't happen, but to have the actual question and to have an answer up to that question about how character develops is, it's good to just do, you know, in isolation as you sort of look at the entire text, not just a part of it, but the entire thing, and to really think deeply about it and have conversations about it every single day that the kid, that your students come into your class. It's not just, oh, we're going to have this conversation after we work our way through the whole book. We're going to have this conversation almost every day that we have a conversation about the class, or about the book. Yeah, I mean, think about it, teenage mind, right, has to make important choices when put in situations that demand listening to their conscience, right? Conscience is their sort of inner moral voice. And not peer pressure. This is like the main world that they live in, is this battle between their conscience and what their friends say that they should do or think, you know, or even their parents, what their parents should, you know, say that they should do or think. And somewhere in there is their inner voice. And that, tapping into that inner voice and studying somebody else's inner voice in the books that we study is really the heart and soul of what it is that we're doing when we're teaching literature. And so, yeah, it's just something to think about. I think when I used to go chapter by chapter, we could talk about character development, but sometimes we were so focused on other themes and ideas that we weren't focused on it. You know, it didn't become the central piece of what we did. And that's a really important part of, again, hooking students into the story is by focusing on these things that matter to them and developing as a person, growing as a person, that matters to them. They want to grow as people. So when you talk about somebody else doing it, then it becomes important for them too. And part of the conversation is always, especially with Hamlet, is do they develop? Because with Hamlet, you can make this argument that he's actually in this downward descent and that he's spiraling, you know, into this place that's not a good place for him to go. Maybe with Holden Caulfield too, I think he does develop a little bit by the end of that, and he has some real epiphanies and realizations at the end where I think you can argue that he develops. But that's always a good conversation too. It's a part of that sort of debate and that back and forth, is how much does the character actually develop? Does he develop, or does he actually, are there points where he, and this is what my students were doing, they're creating a chart where, you know, there's moments where he's growing and developing as a person, and then there's times when he's, you know, again on this downward descent. And it's like this back and forth. So it doesn't have to be this smooth kind of development where like, oh, he's such a bad person. And then by the end is, oh, he's such a good person, right? It's way more complicated than that with a lot of characters. It's like a tennis match where they go back and forth more than it is, you know, this smooth glide to the top of the mountain. So that's always fun too, is like figuring out the complicated nature of how growth happens, and that it's not always the smooth and easy, but it's sometimes the struggle. And sometimes I, you know, when I went chapter by chapter, I felt like sometimes by the end, you're like, okay, so what do you think about this character? But then it's the end of the conversation. This way I can have that, like in Kite Runner, I talk about Amir's relationship with his father. That's the first topic. Because it's so foundational. It's just an important part of who he becomes that I have that pretty early on. And so I can order my conversations that way too. Okay, I'm going to talk about this relationship first and then maybe this other relationship last. It's actually true in the namesake, since I was talking about that. The relationship he has with Moshumi, I don't get to that until to the end of the conversation of the book. But the relationship he has with his father, I have that early on, because for the same reasons that I cited with Kite Runner. It's a sort of important part of the book to look at the relationship with his father and his family, and his mother and all that. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of questions, right, that you can sort of shoot at your students when you get them to think about the factors that caused a character to change, right? What experiences influenced their perspective and decisions? What people impacted who they became at the end of the novel? Why did the character make a mistake or succeed in achieving their objective? What social pressure prevented the character from doing the right thing? Why did the character descend into a mental rut or paralysis? Why did the character either break up with their partner or get married by the end of the story? It's, you know, obviously a good sort of question for the marriage novel. 18th, 19th century. To answer most meaningful questions about a novel, students need to consider the full picture of a character and not just one moment. When they look at one decision the character makes, they should be able to think about the end of the novel and not just what's happening. For instance, when Hamlet kills Polonius, right, it's difficult to make an argument about the impact of that choice if students haven't read the entire play. When I discuss the accidental killing with my students, we talk about Ophelia's death, we talk about Claudius's manipulation of the situation to Laertes, and Hamlet's decision to not kill Claudius in the chapel. Those three things are, you know, it's a puzzle that they're trying to put together, and I can't put that puzzle together unless my students have read the entire text, thought about it independently, come to the table with their own interpretations. And then we have the conversation. It's way better if they've already read it, have an understanding of all of these different puzzle pieces, and then we can have that conversation and have a really good, deep conversation and not hold back, you know, just because we haven't gotten to act four, say. It's another thing we do in Hamlet. So I've talked about namesake and Kite Runner as examples, but we also in Hamlet will focus on Ophelia and Hamlet. Actually, we start to play with all the different relationships. We have Laertes and Polonius, Claudius and Hamlet. We don't get to Gertrude and Hamlet until later when he has this sort of long exchange when the ghost appears. One of the things we end is with Fortinbras and Hamlet. So that's another interesting sort of minor character. So it's not even really important part of the plot, but Fortinbras is king by the end. Right? Spoiler alert if you haven't read Hamlet yet. But I think about that. It's a super minor character, but comparing every single moment that he appears to the situation that Hamlet is in and the context of that situation really enables us to learn a lot about Hamlet. So that's another thing. You do multiple character analysis by juxtaposing the main character to all these minor characters. Not that Ophelia is minor, but Fortinbras definitely is. Yeah, and then again at the end, it's not just the process of it. It's can you make an argument? Can we practice making an argument right now? And then they're ready for the essay because they've practiced making these arguments about different sort of characters that impacted the protagonist. These lengthy and important activities take a lot of time, and if you were to say go through a play or a novel chapter by chapter in this case act by act. You don't have that much time. And I don't like to spend a lot of time on one novel because I feel like at some point I'm beating a dead horse and I'm doing all the interpretation for them, or they're doing it for each other and having conversations and group work and whatnot. So I try as hard as I can to spend just 4 weeks. Sometimes I'll do 3 weeks. If it's a 200-page novel like Exit West or something, I think Things Fall Apart, I only spend 3 weeks on. I think To the Lighthouse, I love that book, so I usually do four, but I've done it in three before. So that's, people might think, well, that's crazy, you know, 3 weeks for a novel. Sometimes two, though. But that's, we have really, really hard, good conversations about the most important passages in the novel, and then the rest is up to them. We read those passages out loud, so they're sort of getting familiar with the book. But because of the way that I, you know, structure my conversations, I have really, really solid, good conversations about the most important topics in the book, and then the rest is really up to them. I need to leave them room for independent interpretation of the literature. If I make a 6, 8, 10 week unit, they're just going to get bored with the characters. They want to be excited by different characters. And sometimes what I'll do, what happens is I'll focus my time on valuable theme-based activities. And then we don't waste time on all these little details that aren't the most important parts of the book and the most important conversations that we have about the book. And then if I have extra time, I'll spend that on project-based learning, which is super, super important, amazing thing that the students love. So it's another moment we can just have some fun in the class talking about really relevant topics that impact the world they live in, and things that they're interested in. And conversations that they want to have, and all those different things that are involved in project-based learning. It opens up time for me to do that because I sort of just, you know, quickly go through novel units that way. So that's a little bit about character study and how to get that done. So hopefully you enjoyed listening, and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you.